السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Accept my sincere apologies. Had a khutbah to deliver and somehow I managed to make it afterwards, but the traffic on the way and many different things. How do we love the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ The Shaykh said our discussion on this khutbah is concerning a matter of belief and aqeedah, creed. And one of the fundamental principles of on which a Muslim builds his belief system, and something which he lives by and in accordance with until he meets his Lord in the state of prosperity and success by the will and permission of Allah. This subject matter is none but loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through whom Allah took us out from the darknesses to the light and from deviance to guidance. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the message of his Lord and he conveyed it in the most perfect manner, and he did not leave anything, whether minor or major, except that he clarified and he explained to his ummah. He did not, and he left us upon the clear plain that it's night, it's like it's day. None deviates from it except one who is destroyed. So may Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is all part of His enormous mercy and compassion concerning His Ummah and His love for His Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward him with goodness on behalf of Islam and the Muslims, the best way he has rewarded a prophet on behalf of his nation. And may Allah make his love, or our love to him and following him, the most beloved thing to us, more beloved than ourselves, our wives, our children, and all of mankind. Brothers in Islam, what is the definition, or what is the understanding of loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do we understand it? He said, this understanding means that your heart, that the heart of the Muslim is inclined towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in such a manner where this reflects in his behavior. Very important. His heart is inclined, but that results in that reflecting in his behavior. And that he favors him over everything which is beloved to him, whether it is his own self, his father, his child, and all of people. And this is because of what Allah has specifically granted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the excellent character and conduct, and what he has made to appear on his hands of blessings sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him and for his ummah. And Allah azza wa jal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you shall truly believe until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, and the whole mankind. Ouch. How many of us can pass this examination? We don't really believe until we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than our fathers, our children, and all of mankind. What does that mean? It means that anytime his command conflicts with the command of anyone else, you favor his command over that other person. And if your father and your son is beloved to you, then the question is he more beloved to you than Imam Malik, or Imam Ahmed, or Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam Shafi'i? The truth is, you love your father more, or you love your son more. So if you're supposed to favor the Prophet ﷺ over someone who's that dear to you, then what about when his sunnah conflicts with one madhab? Not deliberately, but no one is perfect. People make ruling, deduce rulings, they don't get it right all the time. Very natural occurrence. That shows you the evil of madhabism. and the blind following. Yeah, I know the Sunnah says, I know the Hadith is Bukhari, but أخي معلش, my madhab says, our ulama say, Subhanallah al-Azim. You don't realize it, but you just favored someone over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not intentionally, out of ignorance, out of I don't know what. We can find many justifications, and we would love to look for them. But at the end of the day, the summary and the conclusion, you favored someone's opinion over that of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. This is when the hadith is clear in its indication. If it requires interpretation, then you follow what the Imam says, because we can't interpret the hadith on our own. The Shaykh said, the mu'min, the believer, does not deserve the title of Iman in its comprehensive sense until, and he will not be counted among the successful people until the Prophet ﷺ is more beloved to him than himself, his father, child, and everyone on earth. So he knows him, he knows the Prophet ﷺ in all of various times of the day. He knows the Sunnah. And he lives with him alayhi salatu wasalam in his actions and movements, meaning his Sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam. And he thinks that his Sunnah and his guidance are superior to anyone and everyone else. The Shaykh went on to say, we have a right, or we have an obligation, excuse me, concerning the Prophet ﷺ, which we must fulfill. Must. Not recommended. Amongst them, the first of these rights, طاعته فيما أمر وتصديقه فيما أخبر واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر وأن لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع. Beautiful. Beautiful way the scholars, you know, formulate sentences. Very rich in meaning, but very brief, concise and precise. Obeying him in that which he commands, believing him in that which he conveys, avoiding strictly what he prohibits and forbids, and not worshipping Allah except according to what he legislates. Even in English it rhymes. Okay? The Shaykh said, first, obeying him in terms of what he commands. He said, this includes all of the commands and the awamir. The commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must obey him concerning them. And this includes all of the commands without any exception concerning the wajib. Secondly, believing him in what he says. Everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we must believe. Today, you will find that some Muslims don't have this attitude. Specifically when he spoke about things pertaining to science alayhi salatu wasalam, like the fly and the bacteria which is found in one wing and then the, you know, the cure in the other wing, or things about the milk and the urine of camels being a source of treatment and what have you. People who think they are intellectual, they will reject the sunnah. They don't believe that hadith because science to them is more important and more advanced and superior to the revelation of the which he received alayhi salatu wasalam. Even concerning the unseen or things which we have not seen that he said will come to place, like in the things come to pass, afwan, things in the future like Ya'juj and Ma'juj and Ad-Dajjal and what have you. Remember the Dajjal? And things which have not happened yet, pertaining to the minor signs and, where's the brother, and the major signs, concerning the minor signs and the major signs. Matters of the Jannah and Jahannam and the details concerning that, the affairs of the day of resurrection and the affairs of the grave and what happens before the agonies of death and what happens after resurrection, and many different matters which the Prophet ﷺ spoke of, some of them in the form of narratives and others about nations that preceded us. It doesn't matter. Anything which is sahih from him, we must believe. Thirdly, avoiding what he prohibited and forbade. This includes everything he said, don't do. Can someone think of an ayah which brings this to this, you know, this commanding or doing what he commanded and avoiding what he forbade? Can someone think of an ayah which has both of them in one ayah? Very nice. Yalla ya akhwan, yalla. One ayah. There are many, of course, but there's one that specifically says, do what he commands, leave alone what he forbids. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he forbids, leave it alone. Clear. This is in the Quran, just in case someone said this not in the Quran. This includes everything. And he said, the Shaykh said, this is a very vast, you know, topic which cannot really be addressed right now. But we must know that every time we violate a prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ, we have actually undermined one of his rights. And we have done something in opposition to what he commanded, and that we will be held accountable for that violation on the Day of Resurrection. And you all know the ayah. What is the ayah? فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who oppose the messenger beware that they may be afflicted with a fitna or with a severe punishment. This is a threat from Allah concerning disobeying Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fourthly, we do not worship Allah except in that which He legislated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh said, then having shortcomings concerning this aspect is one of the greatest violations and sins. Because Allah Azza wa Jal did not permit that the people worship Him in a manner which He did not legislate, nor did His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislate. And any bid'ah which the person brings from himself, it's in fact accusing and speaking ill and belittling the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is attacking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يعني Allah Azza wa Jal told us, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. This day I have perfected your religion for you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I did not leave anything which will get you closer to Jannah except that I commanded you to do it. And I did not leave anything which will get you closer to the fire except that I forbade you from committing it. So when someone insists on adding or deleting, they're saying that the ayah is not correct and the hadith is not correct. And I must bring something else. This is what happened to the Jews and the Christians until they became one of the biggest kuffar in the world. They continued to innovate until Jesus became God, then Allah, then the Son of Allah, then one of Holy Trinity, and they came up with a whole new religion that which has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. Why? Because they opened the door of innovation. And it's sad to say, some Muslims today follow their way. And we need to adhere to the Sunnah. No innovations. So anything which you are advised to do, ask one question. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do it or not? If he didn't do it, don't do it. It's very simple. If he did it, go ahead and do it. Don't add anything. Even if the people beautify it and make it look nice, it's good. This. If he didn't do it, trust me, Allah doesn't want it. Otherwise, it would have been revealed. Then the ayah would have been revealed. This day I have perfected your religion for you. I mean, this is common sense. Tayyib, the Shaykh said, so reflect, O slaves of Allah, on the content of this comprehensive term, and see how many people have fell short in applying it in their daily lives. How many of the commands of the Prophet ﷺ have we violated? And how many prohibitions did we actually commit? And how many innovations did we bring into the deen? And how many information he conveyed to us did we reject? Because we thought it conflicted with science. The Shaykh said, these are from the basics of life which we cannot afford to ignore. He said, we have a lot of shortcomings concerning that. He said, if your son had undermined your right, O father, if your son did not fulfill your right as a father concerning obedience and respect, you would have made this dunya, you know, go up and you would never put it back down. Yeah, you will make a big deal and big fuss and you will tell your brothers and your family members, my son is disrespectful, my son, and you know, you may go have a war against him concerning that. He said, but maybe you will kick this boy out of the house. You will kick him out for disrespect, lack of mannerism, and for not giving you the right which you deserve. Because you think he's not fulfilling that right. And the same thing we will say about your wife. If your wife was not to fulfill some of your rights, you will also have a similar war against her. And you may divorce her and get rid of her because she's not fulfilling your rights. You may beat her or you know, the worst case, some people, you know, they may curse their wives and verbally abuse them. Why? Because she did not fulfill your rights as a husband. He says, now use this as a yardstick to see our way with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah, and if someone didn't fulfill your rights, you will do all of this to him, then what would be done to us because we're not fulfilling the rights of the Prophet ﷺ. Wise. The second right that he has, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we establish love, not any love, or not in any way, i'tiqadan from uqda. Aqidah. So aqidah comes from a knot. You know when you have ropes, thick ropes, and you tie them up in knots, very difficult to untie it. It's very difficult. This is aqidah, something which you firmly have tied in your heart. I'tiqadan, يعني out of firm belief. وقولاً, verbal statements. وعملاً, actions of the limbs. So this love should manifest in three ways. In the heart, on the tongue, in actions. And you should put this forth and give it precedence over the love of everyone else on this earth. Allah says, and this is a very scary ayah. This is one of the scariest ayah in the Quran. Allahu alam, how many of us will pass the test? Say, قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَوْكُمْ. If your fathers and your children and your brothers and your spouses and your tribes and wealth which you have earned and business which you are afraid will perish, and homes which you are pleased with are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, then wait until Allah brings about His command. Verily Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. Yani the ulama say, if any one of us favors his father, children, wife, spouses, business, home, if you favor any of them over Allah and His Messenger, then Allah called the people at the end of the ayah, فَاسِقِينَ. These are the defiantly corrupt people. And how does that relate to us today? People say, no, I love Allah and His Messenger more. Yeah? Then when we tell you that this thing, the haram thing which you have in the house, you need to take it out, and you don't take it out, you don't love them more. You love that thing more. When we say your wife, ya akhi, your daughter, your sister should not go out dressed in this fashion, huh? And you continue to allow them to dress in this fashion, brother, you love her more than Allah and His Messenger. If you love Allah and His Messenger more, you will force and impose that they adhere to the Islamic guidance. If you let them wear what they want, you don't love Allah and His Messenger more. Business, riba, huh? Bribery, all kinds of haram. If we continue to engage in them, knowing they're haram, because we're afraid we will lose fulus, we don't love Allah and His Messenger more. We love the business more. This is the reality. Very dangerous. So where are we? Where are we from these standards? Where is the true love? I'll tell you where the fake love is. In the mawlid. They bring it in the mawlid. They will even learn all these things. Allah! Everything goes, all violations committed, then one day they will come together and sing and chant and, you know, dance around and bring some, I don't know what. Khalas, brother. You don't love the Mawlid, you Wahhabi. Wahhabi. You don't love the Mawlid, you don't love the Messenger of Allah. Excuse me? Excuse me, akhi? Look how I'm trying to lead my life and look how you're leading your life. You're talking about loving the Messenger of Allah, you innovator. You are the one who doesn't love him. He didn't celebrate his birthday, nor did he tell you to celebrate it, nor did the Sahaba do it. Are you better than all of them, mashallah, tabarakallah? Who's the one who really loves him? Those who follow him. When he said, don't iyyakum wa muhdathati al-umur, woe to you from introducing anything into the deen, we believed him. Said, woe to us from introducing anything into the deen. Back off, akhi. Back off. I'm going to read the seerah on that day. No. Read it on another day. This is a bid'ah.
And people have turned it around. They say they love the Messenger of Allah. Those who don't celebrate it are titled Wahhabis and they don't love the Messenger of Allah. You know why? Because they don't know what love is. They think love is that you cry or you shed some tears. That's not love. Love is following. Love is not just crying. Anybody can cry. I can put a movie of the most wicked people on earth and there will be an emotional scene in the movie and you will cry. I can bring a love song of some fornication, adultery and it will affect you. You will cry. Does that mean anything? That's fake. That's shayateen. The love of the Satan. Satan love. Devilish love. The love of the Messenger of Allah is not by crying, not by going like this, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. The love is where are you in the sunnah? Let's see you according to the sunnah. If you continue to ignore his commandments, akhi, you don't love him even if you claim otherwise. And even if you screamed on the top of the minbar, you love him, you don't love him. If the people will be fooled, Allah knows what's in the hearts. And he will measure us according to the ayah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you. That's the way of Allah. Not saying anything, doing it. Follow Him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that ayah is quite threatening. The Shaykh said, if you ask any of our children today, do you love the Messenger of Allah alayhi sallam, he will say to you what? Of course, he will say yes. And he may even get upset with you and say, you know, why are you asking me this question? Why? You don't love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But as they say, you know, bring the evidence. There's no doubt that for loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are signs. Look for the signs. And I will enumerate for you some of the signs. Which if we have, then we truly love the Messenger of Allah. عليه الصلاة والسلام in اعتقاد in قول and in عمل. So let's see. First, speaking of him often, mentioning him often. From among the most beloved things is that you remember him عليه الصلاة والسلام by sending صلاة السلام عليه often and repeatedly during the night and during the day. And this is ibadah. This is ibadah. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. We have many different formats. Stick to the ones which are learned from the sunnah. The one Ibrahimiyya ala sabil al-mithal. This is an indication. There's no harm in that. In fact, we learned from some of the ahadith that if you were to say this, Allah will suffice you and forgive you your sins and take care of your whole business. Even if you had shortcomings in subhanallah alhamdulillah. Because you're asking Allah. You're still doing ibadah to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, looking forward to meeting him. As it is the case with the lovers. Right? And I mean spouses here. The two people who love each other, even brothers in faith or a husband and wife, when they love, what is the usual feeling? You're always looking forward to seeing this person. Especially when you go to the airport and you're waiting there and they're coming, you know, through the aisle. That moment, then when you see them, you embrace them. What is this love? This kind of feeling, this anxiety, this kind of looking forward to meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time you remember, you look forward to being with him alayhi salatu wasalam in the Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabb. Thirdly, loving the Mujahideen. Oh, I'm sorry, the Muhajireen. Close. Well, both. They were Mujahideen actually. Loving the Muhajireen and the Ansar and the rest of the Sahaba. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to love them. And you should love the one whom your lover loves. And the Prophet ﷺ said about Al-Hasan al-Husayn, O Allah, I love them, so love them. Similarly, we hate those who hate the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, or they verbally abuse them, or they speak ill of them. And whosoever we see establishing ties with them, then we boycott both of them. Because if we don't, that means that we truly don't hate them, and that negates our love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know who we're speaking about. The wicked Shia. From among the signs of loving him sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he loved his ummah. He was compassionate to his ummah. And he advised them. and he worked hard for rectifying their affairs and their conditions and removing anything which may harm them. As Allah says, وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And concerning the believers, he was full of compassion, merciful, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Shaykh said, so ask yourself, O slave of Allah, O you who claims to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you feel compassionate towards his ummah? Yani he was compassionate to his ummah. Are you compassionate to his ummah or are you not? These are harmonious and proportional. So he said, are you also trying to rectify the condition of the ummah? Do you work hard for Islam? Or as I've been receiving in text messages and emails, brother, there's a cricket match between, you know, India and Pakistan. Can we make dua for Allah to give victory for this team because they have more Muslims? Brother, are you serious, man? The Muslims all over the world are suffering and you following a cricket match and trying to see if what? Oh Allah, give victory to India over Pakistan. A'udhu bi ishhad. Wallahi, we've reached a point, yani, we don't even, you run out of words, you run out of words. Say this at the time of the Sahaba and Umar will bring his stick. Umar radiallahu anhu will bring his stick. Yeah, Umar didn't play games. You know, a man came to him, a man sought fatwa from the Prophet ﷺ and he gave him a fatwa. He didn't like it. He went to Abu Bakr. He said, I went to the Messenger of Allah, he gave me this answer, and now I'm asking you to you know, judge between him and another person in a dispute. And Abu Bakr told him, after you ask the Messenger of Allah, you know, I'm going to say like the Messenger of Allah did. So he wasn't happy. He went to Umar. And he told Umar the same thing. Umar said, stay right here. And he went inside, got a sword, came out, and chopped his head off. What? You don't like the fatwa of the Messenger of Allah? You have a problem with the verdict of the Messenger of Allah? What iman do you have? That was Umar radiallahu anhu. Now you tell him that, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, the Romans and the Persians are having the Olympics. Shall we side with which team? While the Ummah is going through the strife and the suffering. Now we say this is nonsense. Turn off this TV. You like sports? Go play cricket. You want to play, you want to lose weight, you want to be in shape? Go do your own sports. But to follow losers all day playing sports, this is a loser in and of itself. This is loss. Wallahi loss. Wallah, we don't have time, ya Shaykh. I'm not telling you don't play sports, but don't become, you know, a fan of anyone. Muslims or non-Muslims. They are killing the ummah. They're taking the energy of the shabab instead of them doing something for the deen of Allah. His whole concern is who's going to win what. And this is unacceptable. Where is the love in that? The love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh said, look at what's happening to the Muslims in the East and the West. What are you doing for his deen? What efforts and what are you exerting for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All these Muslims who bear witness that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Do you feel when the calamity afflicts them that it has afflicted you? Do you share the pain? Or do you simply not care? If we don't have that concern like he had that concern alayhi salatu wasalam, then we don't truly love him. The Shaykh said, whoever claims, you who claims that he loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what have you done and put forth for your brothers, your distressed and destitute brothers in Islam all over the world? What kind of help have you done? What kind of victory? What kind of have you tried to bring them? What kind of aid have you provided for them? This was the first part of the khutbah. The second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, from among the most important indications of loving the Prophet ﷺ is following him and having him an example. The one who truly loves the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, this will appear on him. It will appear on him. His dress code, his facial appearance, everything. We're not saying the one who doesn't have love, but that love is immature. That love has not reached the level we're not going to say perfection, but at least high standard of love that reflects on the appearance. Wallahi, this is, no two people can dispute that. That love and imitation go hand in hand. That's why you see the children, when they're obsessed with a celebrity or a sports figure, they do the same, they imitate him. In his appearance, in his dress code, you ask him why, say, I love him. So, if we love the Prophet ﷺ, where is that? Where is that? The Shaykh said, and then you follow his sunnah, and you follow his verbal expressions and his actions, and then you also live by his seerah during the times of difficulty and during the times of ease. And the times of ease. And then he quoted the ayah, say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you. The love of the Prophet ﷺ used to be an illuminating light which reflected from the hearts of the believers. And this love, it was a love for whatever he commanded and a love for whatever he forbade. And it was a love which is legal, legal love as in related to the legislation, through which the people were able to reach the highest level of Iman. And the Sahaba and those who followed them, they are the ones who truly loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything in Medina loved him, even the branch of a tree on which he used to recline when he would give the khutbah. You know the story of the which started crying. They would hear it crying. They would hear it crying, looking forward to him alayhi salatu wasalam. So he came down and he patted this branch of tree. So he said, had I not done this, it would have remained crying until the day of resurrection. So the ulama say, ya Muslim, if a branch of tree is crying and in love with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then what about our hearts? If a branch of tree has feelings, then what, our hearts, which are supposed to be the essence of feelings, what do they have? Are they hard? Because of sins, because of disobedience, because of rejecting the sunnah? We hope it is not. The Shaykh said, the Jabal of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ got on it with some of the Sahaba, and he started shaking, he said, Uthbut Uhud, remain firm, O Uhud. Then he said, this is a mountain which loves us and we love it. The mountain of Uhud used to love the Prophet ﷺ. And we are far away from these feelings and emotions. How do our youth claim that they love the Prophet ﷺ while they imitate the disbelieving West in the things they eat and in the things they drink and in their dress code and the rest of their affairs? You see some of the shabab outside and you will swear by Allah that these are not from the Muslims in any way, shape or form. But his name is Muhammad and his name is Abdullah and his name is Samir. And you look at him and you say, no way, he's one of the Muslims. You know, the Hollywood and Bollywood, and I heard that there's Nollywood, the third one in Nigeria or somewhere, forever. All of them, you know, all of them in the youth, in the Shabab. If we truly love the Prophet ﷺ, you can't do it, akhi. You cannot possibly imitate a rapper or a singer or a movie star. Never, never, never will your Iman allow you to resemble any one of these losers when you have the winner to follow. When you have the winner as an example, your Iman will prohibit you from doing so. Any Muslim, young or old. So let's stick to the Islamic values. The Shaykh said, how do our young girls claim that they love the Prophet ﷺ while they're running after all these fashion clothes and fashionable whatever? All of them entail showing the awrat and showing that which is supposed to be hidden. What kind of love is this? Exposing themselves. And you go to the souk and you know what I'm talking about. How does a wife claim that she loves the Prophet ﷺ when she does not obey her husband and does not fulfill his rights, even though the Prophet ﷺ said, if the woman was to pray 5 times a day, fast her month, protect her private part and obey her husband, it will be said to her, enter Jannah from whichever door or gate you like. And how does those in charge in the various Muslim lands, how do they claim that they love the Prophet ﷺ while they are betraying and cheating their people and not dealing with them justly? While the Prophet ﷺ said, there isn't a slave which Allah gives him responsibility over a group, and he dies, when he dies while he is betraying them, except that Allah has made Jannah haram for him. And the ulama understand this hadith, abd, it doesn't say any one of us. Allah gives you wife and children, and you know, you turn on the TV for them, and you go to work, and they learn all the junk from the TV, then they are led astray, then they go, you are prohibited from Jannah. Because Allah gave you a group of people to take care of, والرجل راع في بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته. You have forsaken their right, then Jannah is haram. We have to raise them. We have to educate them. We have to teach them. We have to make them love Islam. We don't let the maid raise them, nor do we let the television raise them. Because you know what kind of upbringing they will have. Lastly, the Shaykh said, how does the one who disobey his parents and the one who breaks his kinship ties claim that he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he does not respect his parents nor does he keep his kinship ties? And how do some of the merchants and the businessmen claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they deal with riba and they consume the haram and they do that which he forbade? And how do some people claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they do not act upon his sunnah and they belittle it and undermine it? They say this is just a voluntary, if you do it you'll be rewarded, if you don't do it that's fine. Yeah, that's one meaning of the sunnah for the nawafil, for the voluntary. But sunnah doesn't mean everything which is voluntary. Sunnah means that which came with the Quran as revelation, which includes the halal and the haram and the wajib and the makruh and the mustahab. Some of the things in the sunnah are wajib. In fact, most of the things in the sunnah are wajib. It's from the sunnah that you pray for rak'at and dhuhr. Is it mustahab or wajib? Wajib. Where did you get it from? The sunnah. So some people try to twist it around. Anytime you give him a hadith, say, this is optional. La. It's from the sunnah. Here sunnah has a different definition. But the voluntary prayers, some people undermine them. How do you claim that you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do you claim that you love him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then we do not venerate him, we do not love him, and we do not defend him with our souls? And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, verily those who believe in him and they venerate him and they aid him and they follow the light which was sent down to him, it is those who are successful. In the conclusion of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, the conclusion of the khutbah is the salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which comes in the ayah, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala an-nabi ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad. The Shaykh said the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whosoever does so once, Allah will pray, Allah will exalt his mention 10 times. Whoever exalts the messenger of Allah once, Allah will exalt his mention 10 times. In another hadith, after the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you hear the muadhin calling the adhan, say similar to what he says. Of course, when he says hayya ala salah and hayya falah, you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then send the salat and salam upon me. And then ask for Allah to give me the wasila. What is the wasila? It is the status which Allah Azza wa Jal, which does not belong to anyone after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is the Messenger of Allah, I hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will give it to him. And then whoever does so will receive this shafa'ah of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جزاكم الله خيرا وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.